Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Glad you could join us for our conversation. Each week, we talk with a leader in both the nonprofit as well as the corporate world. This week, we're going to be talking with Barbara Philibert, who is the president and CEO of Pettibone. And she's based in Chicago and has a master's degree from the University of Iowa and also has served on a number of boards, including the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Looking forward to our conversation with Barbara today. Well, hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us again for our podcast this week. And we're happy to have Barbara Philibert join us with for our conversation this week. And first off, Barb, could you give us just a little bit of your background and kind of a little bit of your highlights of your career?
Absolutely. So I've spent 30 years in manufacturing, primarily in family-run organizations. I currently work for the Heiko Companies, which is my fourth family-run organization. And I've also worked for one publicly traded company. Just worked my way up from the shop floor, plant scheduler, shift supervisor, through to director of operations, general management, to I'm currently the president and CEO of the Pettibone platform of Heiko Companies.
Great. Well, tell me a little bit about those early years in your career, and why did you choose to go into kind of that manufacturing? What was it that intrigued you about that?
You know, I didn't choose. It chose me. So I don't know about anybody else, but you can lay the best of plans and life kind of has its own plan. So I came out of graduate school with a degree in instructional design, which is curriculum development for, you know, technical training, et cetera. And I was hired by Menasha Corporation, which is a company in Wisconsin. It's family owned and operated. It's in seventh generation of family, so a very well-run organization. And they hired me to design technical training programs specifically for their factories and their shop floor. I had never been in a factory before.
Okay.
And they sent me down to their largest plastics factory in Urbana, Ohio. And I got to tell you, it was like, did you ever have those moments of clarity in life when things just clicked, when they made sense, when I loved the smell of the plant floor, the feel of the plant floor, the rhythm. I understood the processes. I could see the process flow. And I really liked the people. They were very much like the people that I had grown up with in rural Iowa. Just very good, hardworking, honest people. And I discovered that I really enjoyed making something. At the end of the day, I liked going home and knowing I made something. I contributed to something being made. So that's really how I got into manufacturing.
Interesting. Well, we're fellow Iowans. I know you're a Hawkeye fan, and so
yeah. We've
got a little bit of background. But tell me a little bit, if you were to go back and talk to a 22-year-old Barb, what advice would you give her, knowing what you know now?
Well, first of all, I would have been an engineer.
Okay.
You know, I think you and I have talked. We've been talking for years now, Mark. I think you and I talked when I was going to college. No one really spoke to young women that much about being engineers or science degrees. I was asked, do I want to be a teacher? Do I want to be a nurse? I didn't want to be either. And I kind of fell into my career, fortunately. So I would have been an engineer. But I also would have been told myself to just relax. You know, breathe. I'm intensely a type A person, and while that's good, that drive is wonderful, sometimes you can overdo it, and I would also tell myself to just ignore the naysayers, stay away from the negative people, stay true to your path, and just, you know, march on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of answered my next question, advice that you would ignore, but tell me anything else that if you look back on some of the people that, you know, were trying to give you career advice or advice in general, that anything else that you would have ignored looking back on it now?
You know, when I was coming into manufacturing, obviously there weren't a lot of women then. There still aren't a lot of women now. And I was told to blend in and, you know, be like one of the guys. Well, inherently, I'm not. And that was bad advice. And I found that when I wasn't my authentic self, I had some really bad habits. And when I came back to just really embracing who I was, for better or for worse, it was better. I was more authentic and I was a better leader. So I'd ignore that advice.
Well, Barb, give me just the importance of mentors in your life and maybe some of the mentors that you've had in your career and what impact they've made in your career.
You know, I've been really very fortunate to have some good mentors. People that were not afraid to give me not only kudos, because those are important, of course, but to give constructive feedback in a constructive manner. I think of Bob McQuillan, who really was the first manager who took a chance on me, made me a plant manager when there were no female plant managers in all of the Menasha Corporation. Hmm. He went out on a limb, and to this day, I appreciate it. And actually, when I went to my next job at Bemis Manufacturing, he called me up. He was in retirement, and he said, you know what? I want to sponsor you for this organization in Milwaukee of manufacturing executives, and I want you to come be my guest. And so he stayed with the mentoring, which was fabulous, and he didn't have to do that. There were also women mentors. They really weren't in manufacturing, but they were women maybe ahead of their time that I saw, okay, I can do this. You can be a woman in leadership. And I think of Peg Osluis, who ran a division of Menasha Corporation sales, and she had automotive sales. So it was, you know, it was tough, hardcore sales. And Donna Ebert, who ran customer service and inside sales. And they were just great female leaders who encouraged me and inspired me, actually. Now it's interesting, for the first time ever, I'm working for a woman. My immediate boss is the CEO of Heiko Companies, and his name is Steve Frediani. But our chairman of the board, Emily Heisley Stokel, is a fabulous mentor. I continually learn from her, and she's inspiring.
Great. Thinking back on books that you've read over the years and thinking that sometimes mentors not only come through personal one-on-one, but through books that you've read and that, what books have made an impact on your life?
Very, very early with Menasha Corporation, we were all asked to read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. It was in the early 90s when that was very, you know, in vogue. And I still use that book to this day. It's amazing. Be proactive. Deposits and withdrawals. I mean, it's just a really engaging, good book that helps leaders balance work, life, spiritual aspects, and health aspects of your life. So I use that all the time. Other books, you know, interesting. I love the book To Kill a Mockingbird, and I read it time after time, and I discover layer upon layer and details every time I read it. And it's really about, even when it's difficult, doing the right thing and standing up for principles in the face of opposition. And one book that I just love, it's nonfiction, Seabiscuit. I don't know if you've ever read that book, of course, about the horse that against all odds won in the 1930s and really inspired a nation. You know, Seabiscuit was not a classic Arabian racehorse. It was kind of bow-legged and obnoxious and liked to eat and sleep and was a little fat and lazy. But it inspired a nation that really needed a hero. And I just love the story.
So tell me about when you were moving into your first leadership position, as you were building out your executive team. What are some things, if you were to go back and do that over again, or some things that principles that you use as far as building teams, what are some things that you would advise you'd give to an executive maybe that's going into their first time where they're building out a team, you know, that's going to make an impact, and give us your thoughts around that.
I really like to employ situational leadership theory, and instructional design, as I mentioned before, was my master's degree, and we had a whole course in situational leadership theory, and I never realized how instrumental it would be in my management style. It's so much about the individual, the performer, if you will, and less about the coach. The coach needs to be understand how that person learns and how they're motivated, and they need to adapt their style. So that served me well. In reflection, I would have been more transparent. You know, when you become, or at least when I became a manager, I didn't realize how effective and compelling transparency could be. Everyone knowing what was important to me, my goals, what I was working on, I didn't have ulterior motives. And really, when you lay down your cards and you show everyone, it's powerful. So I'd encourage young managers, new managers to do that.
Any favorite interview questions that you have? I always ask that just because of my line of work and trying to find a new one that I haven't used before. Anything that you use?
Yeah, I do. I have a great one, and I have to tell you the history of it. So I'm actually on the Board of Trustees of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so I like to ask people, who's the greatest rock and roll band? Got it. You get all sorts of answers.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's a good one. Yeah, I was lived in Ohio when that was being built. And, so that, yeah, definitely. Well, tell me a little bit about your board work and just the importance as an executive. Do you think it's important for an executive to be on different boards?
I do. And I was really fortunate to work for ODI, which is a family-run organization in Cleveland, for about 8 years. And the family is quietly very supportive of Cleveland and all the nonprofit there in the city. We were encouraged to look at what our passions were and to give back. And in fact, we were strongly encouraged that as an executive, it was an expectation. He who has been given much needs to deliver much, basically. And so, of course, I love animals. And I was on the Cleveland Animal Protective League, a wonderful organization, receives no tax dollars, no state, federal funds. And it's all grassroots, and they fundraise $25 at a time from people that love animals throughout the city of Cleveland and the greater Cuyahoga County community. We served about 14,000 animals per year and found them new beginnings and forever homes. And then, of course, when the opportunity came up to be on the Rock Hall board, I, of course, said yes. And even though I moved to Chicago, I still am on that board. It really speaks to, I have roots in music, and I just love it. I think music can tell so many stories and can inspire. And really, that's the mission of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, to inspire, engage, and educate. So it's an honor to be a part of it.
So who's your favorite rock and roll band?
So that's the essence. There's favorite and there's the greatest.
Right? The greatest. Okay. Got it.
Well, my favorite is probably the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
And I would have to say that the greatest is either the Stones or the Beatles.
Okay.
But I get some great answers. You know, you hear Rush, you hear The Who, all respectable answers. Somebody once told me Wham. I didn't know how to take that one.
they didn't get the job?
I'm not going to say.
So as someone who's working in with a lot of moving parts and a lot of things going on in your business and life, any apps or technology that have made you more effective or productive?
When I came to the HEICO companies, they had the entire Microsoft Office suite, which was great. I was like a kid in a candy store. I think most people have worked on different aspects of the Office suite. Certainly Outlook, most people are familiar with, SharePoint. But we had everything. We had BI, the business analytics tool. We had Teams. We had SharePoint. We had Skype. We, of course, had Outlook. And just being able to integrate all those tools. We're also going through an ERP implementation right now to D365, which is also a cloud-based Microsoft ERP product. And Microsoft Suite interfaces with it, you know, through the customer relationship management tool all the way through the process. So I love those tools. Our teams use them every day, multiple times a day. And it goes back to transparency like we talked about. Everybody can see the business analytics, the BI tool. Everybody can see SharePoint. We're sharing information real time in Teams, and I can get access to so many of our people. So it's great.
Good. So outside of work, I've been talking to some executives as we've been doing these podcasts, and it's always interesting to hear how people rejuvenate when they're not at work, and outside interests that keep them energized. And tell me a little bit outside of work, what do you enjoy doing?
Well, I love spending time with my husband. He's retired and he keeps everything going in our lives. So I love spending time with him. I love to read. It kind of gives me that escape. And I travel a lot in this role. So being able to kind of escape into my Kindle is wonderful. And I also like to walk. I like to get out in nature. If I have to do a treadmill, I'll do a treadmill. But I really like to get out in nature and just walk for an hour or so. And it really rejuvenates me, absolutely.
Good. Any parting advice you'd give someone as they're either mid-career or starting out?
Be happy about going to work. You know, if you're doing something that you're passionate about and you enjoy going to work, maybe you don't enjoy every minute of every day, but you should like what you do and you should have a passion about it. And if you don't, maybe consider a change.
Good. Well, thanks, Barbara, for your time and your insights. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.